This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
There's a little breaking news going down today, Kevin, about Chad Morris, the big-time SMU coach who came in here and turned that into a winning program, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then he left him, just leaving him. Is this what's going to happen? He's going to go to Arkansas.
Is that confirmed?
He's the key target for them, man.
Okay.
He is the key target. He's leaving.
But here's what I would say.
Just face it. He's gone. He's out of here.
You've seen how some of these SEC job searches work, right? Like, now he's the key target. But just a minute ago, they thought Gus Malzahn was going to be their coach. And, like, Tennessee reached out to me today to see if I would be their coach. That's how far down the list they went.
You know who the longest tenured coach in Florida is right now?
No.
Mark Richt.
At Miami?
He's been there for two years. Lane Kiffin is like the second longest tenured coach there.
Oh, yeah, because Charlie Strong just got there.
Yeah, they're all.
And Self just left, or Scott just left, and I had one of those names right. And wow.
Yeah, a bunch of the coaches have been there for like a day, maybe. And the whole state of Florida. So the coaching situation is crazy there, and we'll see what happens as the confirmation of Chad Morris comes down. I think he may go to greener pastures and get an opportunity to coach at Arkansas. It's definitely a great opportunity there. But the idea there is that, like, there's a lot of coaches that shift around and move all over the place.
Right.
Not all coaches get the opportunity to do what Bobby Bowden did, what Steve Spurrier did, what Bob Stoops did. And that is spend their entire career.
I was going to say, it's interesting that you say that. Steve Spurrier bounced around. No, not after.
Before.
He bounced around before he got to Florida.
When he was with South Carolina, he was there for a long time, too. It felt like he was there for a lot longer than he actually was.
He rolled through Duke, too.
But not a lot of coaches get the opportunity to have that type of career. And it's much like radio. Not a lot of hosts get to stay around the station for a long time. But
you're awesome.
Look at what Gary Patterson's done in TCU. And, Kevin, we talked a little bit about this Sunday. And I don't know. I guess my first question is, are they ever going to be able to get over the hump? Because they got to the title game, but it wasn't the college football playoff, right?
Right.
It wasn't in that format. Are they ever going to be the type of program that can fit into that format? OU has been a dominant force in the college football world. They've been a brand for as long as I can remember, right? Like, there was a period of time right when Stoops started where there was a window where they weren't dominating. But, you know, Barry Switzer, the thing's been there for a long time. For a long time, Texas was always involved, and now they're trying to climb back into it. But TCU just has always been pushing this huge rock up a hill. And they never really, it seems like the hill's never gonna stop for them. And I don't know exactly what it is. One of my fears is that they're going to start to blame and start playing that part of it, and that Gary Patterson's going to be the, he just can't get us there.
Oh, my God.
While he is the reason that this program, we talked about it with Broadus during Peace-a-thon. You know, he looks at UNT, and he feels sorry for UNT because Seth Luttrell is probably going to be taken away at some point. But Gary Patterson has found the place that he loves, and he gets to run it and own it and operate it that way and do everything. But TCU, aren't they at the point where they're like, okay, we've done some things. We're competitive. We're competitive in the Big 12. We're one of the top two teams in the Big 12 every year now. We need to get our spot. And Patterson hasn't done it for us yet. They're going to get to that point at some point where they taste the blood and they want it. And they look, we built you all these things. We did all these things for you. And sure, you brought our program up and you've made us a program worthy of it. But man, we got to get a championship. At some point, they're going to get tired of not being considered one of the top five teams, top six teams, legitimately. They always seem to get close to it because they're competitive. But they never really, everybody kind of looks at them as like, yeah, okay, all right, TCU, sure, you're in the top 10 again, that's fine. But they don't look at them as you're number two, number one contenders.
All right, well, here's what I would say to all the people in Fort Worth who believe that. Here's the 5 years before Patterson got there. 6-5, 4-7, 1-10, 7-5, and 8-4. And then he got there, and, well, you went 10-2. So, and that's when Francione was leaving out the door as well. But then after that, you had one tough year over Patterson to under Patterson to really get it started. But right after that, y'all started rolling. And here's why I think I think they are already in the elite of the elite.
You do?
I do. And I'll tell you why. In the last 10 years, this season included, TCU has finished top 7 in the country 5 times. Half of the last 10 years, TCU has been in the top 7. So, like, first of all, that's astonishing. And I wonder how many other teams can make that claim. Unfortunately, I didn't think about that ahead of time, and I didn't do the research. I will work on that for a follow-up segment. But I can't imagine it would be more than a handful. So I do think that TCU is in the elite of the elite. And I absolutely believe that they can break through, because I'll tell you why. Like, you can see the spots where they could have done it. So I know people will point to, like, you know, 2009, 2010. Well, I mean, in 2009, you were undefeated going into the Fiesta Bowl. You win that game, you could be in the mix. 2010, they went undefeated, finished third. The reason being, they weren't in a real conference yet. So then they moved to the Big 12, and they really had their shot in 2014. They finished the season, I believe, ranked like number 3, and that was the year that they lost that game to Baylor. 61-58. You win that game, you are playing in the playoff. You are playing for an opportunity at the national championship. And can't we say the exact same thing this year? There are some people who thought if they would have won the Big 12 championship, like, you can look at it now and say probably not. But there are people who thought if they would have won the Big 12 championship, that they would have gone into the college football playoff. Well, I'll tell you how you make that happen. Absolutely. You don't lose that game to Iowa State, and you win the Big 12 championship. And guess what? It ain't Alabama or Ohio State that people are talking about. It's TCU, and TCU would have taken that fourth spot. I know they haven't gotten it yet, but the impediment to them getting there is no longer there. The reason why they are not going to make it is if they lose games. It's no longer like outside forces think TCU sucks. TCU is a brand name in college football now. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not saying, and somebody said, you're so wrong. I work day in, day out in Fort Worth with majority of the executives of TCU, and they all love Patterson. He can do no wrong.
As they should.
Everybody loved Mac Brown for a long time, too.
That's true.
So while they love him now, and I hope that you TCU fans and TCU alums and everything, that they continue to have that adoration for him, and also for whoever he decides will replace him at some point later down the road. Because I think this guy should be there forever. He's built this program. He's built this city on rock and roll, basically. But he's really created something there that, you know, from, like you said, Kevin, bad to always competitive. It doesn't happen like that. Because what happens to those coaches, Kevin? Those coaches build something and leave.
Sure.
Every time. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm going to stay here and stay committed to it. Somebody texted in and said, yeah, he is signed through 2024.
Actually broke that news when it happened a few weeks ago.
They said he is, that they got their first 5-star recruit ever. And Kevin, they've signed 44-star recruits in the past 9 years, but have never gotten a 5-star recruit. And they got their first ever. So, yes, that is a huge deal. Because once you get those, and once you start getting more and more and more, then your program takes that next step to the next place, where whenever they are competing against these top teams, they can beat them in the Big 12 championship.
I'm glad that you brought this up, because I was looking at this the other day. nobody would question that over the last decade, the best program in the state is TCU, right?
Okay.
All right. So I was looking at the list of top 100 state recruits. And now none of them have signed just quite yet. We haven't got to early signing or anything like that. But 13 were committed to A&M. 12 were committed to Texas. And 7 were committed to TCU. Like that, I do still find that kind of odd, because while I said TCU is a brand name, it's a brand name based off its success. Whereas A&M and Texas are brand names just based off of they're just brand names. Like A&M had one really good year in like the last, 15 years. Texas has sucked for the last 5 years, but everybody knows who they are.
Also, think about this for a minute. When did Vince Young win that championship? What year?
Was that 06?
06. How old were most of these kids that are over the last 5 years? How old were they when they were watching Vince Young?
You're a little kid now.
You know, they were watching UT. It doesn't matter how bad UT was then. UT back then was the thing. And so they're like, I want to go be that program again.
And I get that, but
I'm going to go to UT whenever I get to college.
Well, this could be the opportunity for TCU right after that, because look at what happened right after that. In 08, they finished 7th. Next year, 6th. Next year, 2nd, and went undefeated. Maybe this will be the swing of people who have always thought TCU is a destination. I truly believe for the first time in our lifetime, TCU can or is on the cusp of becoming a destination school. And oh my God, if you add better players to what, or theoretically better players to whatever is already happening in Fort Worth, you have a juggernaut that is ready to take that next step. Am I saying they're going to win a national championship imminently? No, but I think they will remain in the mix because they're there time and time and time again.
How long ago would you have thought we're going to look around and see UNT winning football games and TCU as a prominent football team? So that's two, plus what Chad Morris has did at SMU, the three schools in the DFW area that have really risen to a moment. Now, I hope that UNT can build on a Gary Patterson type thing and in the next 10 years build something instead of losing their coach. I really hope that they seem committed to the idea that they want to try and build something out there. But like when you would have never thought these three teams would be in that discussion.
I'll tell you the reason why they should always be in this discussion. And for SMU, the key is going to be to keep Chad Morris, or if they get another coach after that, that's pretty good. DFW, the Metroplex, and I'm not kidding you, has the best recruiting base for football in the entire country. I know people focus on the state of Texas, but make no mistake about it. Look at who wins the bulk of the UIL state championships, and look at where so many prominent recruits come from. High school football is better nowhere in the country than it is in the Metroplex. So, yes, I think UNT, SMU, and TCU, even if some of them go after the lower-tier recruits, you should always be able to field a very competitive team.